Mr. Trouble never hangs around when he hears this mighty sound.
Here I come to save the day.
That means that I'm on the way. And it's the news, according to me. Well, yes, here I am, finally, back from a little hiatus. Or a low atus. I don't know what it was, but some kind of atus. Something atus. Not to be confused with Uranus. It's a planet. Are there gaseous rings around Uranus? We don't know. We're not sure about that yet. Science is still out on that one. Oh my goodness. What a way to start back after all this time. I went right to the gutter all the foot off the bat. So it's, anyway, it is 6:05, 55, November 17th on a Thursday already. And here I am just starting my first show of the week, I think. I think it is. Yeah. Is this the first show I've had this week? Pretty sure it is. It's ridiculous. This week has been absolutely ridiculous. Started off in, where did I go? I went to Atlanta on Sunday. I was in Atlanta on Monday, came home, and then I left early in the morning. I came home late Monday night, left early Tuesday morning, had a 6:30 flight out of South Bend, and then I went to, ended up in Savannah, Georgia, of all places, Tuesday night. And then yesterday, I trudged my way home through all the snow that we have here right now. Almost didn't make it in back into town because they were concerned about the weather. Coming back from Chicago, pilot said, well, we may have to take off and go over there and hold for a while. Now, I happen to know a few things about the regulations that you can't take off without weather being at least at minimums at your destination. Now, the problem was the minimums were coming and going. The weather was going down to 0-0 for a while. And it would come back up again. So there he was concerned about, we're going to take off and the weather's okay, and then we're going to get over there and the weather's going to be, we get in the air and it's going to change. Because a lot of lake effect comes down from when the wind is blowing out of the northwest. South Bend, Elkhart, Goshen area all gets just pummeled with. South Bend gets it pretty bad, but they get a lot of snow over there because of the lake effect stuff. I'm not sure how much of this was lake effect and how much of it was actually system snow. When it says system, it comes through and it hits Chicago and everything else. I think this was mostly lake effect because of the way the snow bands were coming through. But I woke up this morning to let the dogs out at 5 o'clock in the morning and discovered that, one, I have no creamer. Well, I do, but I didn't realize it was mine. And then I had, there was a bunch of snow on the ground. So shoveling will be in my future this morning. Be on my plate as if I didn't have anything else to do. Sometimes life just gets in the way. So the stuff of life, I guess, not necessarily life itself, but I don't know. Depends how you look at it. But I am here. Never fear. I am here. I'm here to save the day. So we have, I have in my cup. Well, that's interesting. That's a different kind of flavor. So I have, as usual, you can probably guess what I have in my cup, or at least part of what I have in my cup, but you won't guess the rest of it. You won't guess the kind of creamer. I have vanilla chai, the last of my vanilla chai, by the way. It's my last little scoop of vanilla chai. I can probably find another can of it around here somewhere. I was stashing it all over the place for a while. And I have creamer. I didn't know I had creamer. I looked around for creamer this morning and couldn't find any creamer. I thought, well, I'll just have to drink it straight. Just like a man. Drink your chai like a man. Drink that cup of tea like a man. Without creamer. So I was going to do that. I started drinking it like a man. And my wife said, are you drinking hot chocolate? Because it kind of looks like hot chocolate when you're kind of looks kind of, it doesn't have that creamy look to it. Yeah, I even put creamer in my hot chocolate, by the way, but that's a whole other story. So I ended up getting my, she informed me that I do have creamer. I said, well, where is it? She goes, well, we have to go out in the cold garage. I had already been out in the cold garage, and I looked all through the refrigerator out there. I didn't see anything. So we got the door open, and it was warmer inside the refrigerator, I think, than it was outside in the garage. But we got the door open there, and she pulled out this organic something creamer, something, I don't know, vanilla creamer, whatever it was. I just assumed it was hers. It didn't look like anything I would drink. It didn't have like the picture of a Cinnabon on the front, or a, you know, Almond Joy candy bar. So I just assumed it wasn't mine. I don't consume things that don't look like they're sweet, or have some kind of something bad for you on it. So I put this in my thing. I didn't have any taste. I just tasted it here for the first time. It definitely has a different flavor to it. It's a little bit more of a stronger vanilla, I think, than most of the vanilla creamer I usually use. It tastes good. It tastes okay. It's just different. So that's what I'll be drinking the rest of the week, which will be today and tomorrow. That's all the rest of the week there is. And then on Tuesday, I'll be around until Tuesday morning. It looks like Tuesday morning, there will probably be no show unless it's in the afternoon. That could potentially happen. Actually, late morning or possibly early afternoon, it could possibly happen. I'll be going back to Atlanta again, because that's the plan. And I'll be in Atlanta through Thanksgiving. No, through Wednesday. You'll see Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Yeah, I'll be coming back. Hopefully Friday night. And I'll be off to St. Louis on Monday. It's a crazy day. It's a crazy month. It's this month. It's just a nutty month. Now, this all may be changing soon. There's a very good possibility that because of the way the industry is right now, apparently what I do is in demand. And I actually might be changing my company that I work for. We'll see how it goes. But it may be a better move at this point because of the potential for me to be able to work, do what I'm doing, and possibly make a little bit better money. Nothing huge, but for the last 5 years of my career here, I think I'm going to be doing some changes. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. Now, the company I'm working for keeps talking about bringing up the pay rates so that we're industry standard, but they just keep talking about it. And while they talk about it, people are leaving. And I don't think that they care that people are leaving because they're downsizing a little bit. So I believe they're preparing for a recession, and they're hoping that that changes everything, and they're going to be in a better position during a recession to weather the storm, as you might say. I don't know that this is going to be that's a real wise move right now. They're prognosticating, whatever that is. Prestidigitation. Just say prestidigitation. Of course, now you can say it because I made it easier for you to mimic. It's all the way your brain works. Anyway, we won't get into that. What we're going to get into is some stuff about that actually matters. Now that I'm, you know, 20 minutes into the show and haven't said anything, I'm 10 minutes in. So we have this issue of course, Donald Trump has now announced officially that he is running for president in 2024. And, of course, the left is going nuts. Lawrence O'Donnell? What's the guy's name? He's on MSNBC, MS, whatever it is. MS Mighty Mouse. He apparently thinks that one of his headlines was that the Republican Party is in ruin. That was one of the things he said recently. It was a headline. Let's see if I can find it here. See here. Where is he? And I don't see him anywhere. He's got to be here somewhere. It wasn't back that far. Yeah, I don't see it now. Of course. It's gone. Yeah, CNN and MSNBC are going nuts now between the whole Trump and DeSantis thing. Now, the left, of course, is, they're out of their minds. You have to understand that they are completely devoid of any kind of normal functioning subjectivity or objectivity because they are completely, they're deranged. It's really crazy. The things that they do. Now there's some interesting theories about some things that are going on and what just happened in the 2020 midterms and how let me break this down for you. I'm going to try to keep this on track and make it understandable as to what happened here. Because I think now that the dust has somewhat settled and we can kind of see clearly as to what happened, we can put this puzzle together. And we knew that there were things going on during, you know, prior to the election day in terms of what was happening with the Republican Party, Mitch McConnell, Kevin McCarthy, candidates that were running on the GOP. I don't think people paid that much attention to it. They didn't think it had that much influence. But let's break this down. Who is really responsible for this red wave that didn't happen? The tsunami warning that was called off. Is it Trump's fault? Does Trump get to take credit for all the Republican wins? Roman Bumakov last night had a really, I think, very honest look at what happened here in terms of some of Trump's statements in his speech. And Trump painted a little different picture, as he usually does. He likes to take credit for anything good that happens and likes to blame other people for everything bad that happens, regardless of whether he's involved in it or not. I mean, that's just kind of the way he is. He likes to take credit for things other people do, but he's not like Joe Biden where he'll do something wrong and then blame everybody else. Trump doesn't at least do that. Now, in his speech, I think he kind of surprised some people, especially at Fox. I think people's biggest issue with Trump is his rhetoric. The way he gets down in the gutter with people and has a tendency to be mean in his tweets and call people names, and people don't like that. Independents don't like that too much. Some of them do. Some of them, you know, I like to stick it to the, you know, he kind of comes out with the harsh comments. Now, we've got all this dynamic of things going on right now. Mike Pence has written a book. Mike Pence wrote a book, yeah. I'm getting really tired of these people who write a book. It's like they're out there busy, they're doing their thing every day, they've got all this stuff going on. Look, being on a show, like you'll see Lindsey Graham and you'll see some of these individuals on Fox News, every time Hannity comes on, he's got the regulars on there. They have the same people on all the time. Regular contributors to the show. On Tucker Carlson, almost every night, you'll see Tulsi Gabbard, possibly Jordan Peterson. Whoever it is, or not Jordan, not Jordan Peterson, the Jordan. What's the guy's name? It's a congressman from Ohio. Jim Jordan. Yeah, one of my favorite congressmen, I can't remember his name. Yeah, Jim Jordan, you got all these people, you know, they all come on, they make their, this takes time out of your day, let alone the work you're supposed to be doing. Now, you don't just write a book. If you're writing a book by yourself, if you write the book, let me just tell you, this is not an easy task. If it's a book with any kind of substance to it at all, that you're actually putting pen and ink to, or that you're typing out, that you're actually going over, Ask anybody who's ever gone through that process, and they will tell you it is a major job. It takes time. Every day of your life is spent working at least a couple hours on this book. All of a sudden, Mike Pence has a book. All of a sudden, Bill, what's his name? Bill, what was the guy's name? William, whatever his name, Barr? Bill Barr. He has a book. You can't tell me. You know, I think Brian Kilmeade has a book like every other quarter. And he's on Fox News 6 hours a day. He's got a radio program. He's got a Fox News, you know, morning thing, and he's got his afternoon show or whatever. He got all this stuff going on. There's no way. There's no way you do that without a team of people or a ghostwriter to do your book for you. And not that there's anything wrong with that. But just be aware of the fact that these people are not writing. They're not sitting down at a typewriter writing this book. They're writing an outline, possibly, or they're writing some ideas, and they give that to their ghostwriter, and their ghostwriter goes forward and does all the work full time for, you know, and they get paid for that. Mike Pence paid someone to write a book for him. That's the way that works. So right now he's on a book tour. So of course now he's been interviewed by Fox News and all this other stuff, and he's making comments about Trump and stuff. This is prior to the announcement. And Mike, I'm sorry, nobody cares. I respected him when he was our governor here in Indiana. I had some misgivings. I had some trepidation about the guy, however. I think he's a person who holds true to his convictions. However, here's the difference with Mike Pence. I think the thing that bothers me about Mike Pence is that he's one of those people who only holds true to those convictions because he has an ulterior motive. That is his political optics. He's not motivated as much, not as much, by personal moral conviction as he is by political expediency. There is some moral underpinning there, don't get me wrong. But he's more motivated, in my opinion, by the politics of it, by the optics, by what other people see. That motivates him more than just being true to himself. That's the way I see it. That's my opinion. I could be very, very wrong on that. And I certainly don't mean to say that he's a bad person, you know, that he's, but I think that, you know, you say you can't quite question someone's motives. Well, I'm sorry, it's just the sense I get about the guy. If you want to put yourself in a leadership position in my country, if you want me to elect you, then yeah, I'm going to be critical of you. I'm going to critique you. Break it down to show you how I see it. If you want my vote, that's the way it's going to be. Now, if you're just my neighbor, I'm just going to live life with you. But if you want to run for county councilman, start making decisions that affect me, I'm going to start examining your life. What's motivating you? What's going on here? Now, I happen to know that the county counselor or the county commissioner here in Elkhart County, where I live, happens to be, we happen to have gotten a pretty good guy, I think. See how it all pans out, but I'm pretty sure he's a believer. And he's, I think he's, he's got some good ideas. Again, this comes down to what kind of team do you have around you? What kind of family support and close support that you have around you? What kind of people you have working for you and with you? So we'll see how that all works out. Now, having said all of that, let's get back to this whole thing with Trump and what I think happened with the 2020 midterms, as well as what's going to happen here with the election in 2024. We have a situation where Joe Biden is rapidly diminishing. They got him out there all the time now, and now it's starting to show. He's overseas somewhere, I think, at this COP27, whatever thing it was that they were at. And there was a very important dinner he was supposed to attend, and apparently he just got tired and couldn't make it. So it's starting to affect his schedule now. And it seems to be evening time is when he starts to have his problems. His speech has become more and more slurred. He's now become more incoherent in his talking. You can tell he just sounds like a very tired, drunk individual. Now, Nancy Pelosi's also, her head's kind of exploded too. So there's a couple different things I want to talk about. One is what's going on with the House. Not my house, the House of Representatives. And, of course, there's the Senate and what happened there and the whole thing with Mitch McConnell. So we have Mitch McConnell, we have Donald Trump, we have Kevin McCarthy in the House, we have Nancy Pelosi. All these things we need to talk about and how they all gel together to create a monstrosity of a mess in Washington on the hallowed halls of Capitol Hill, the temple of democracy. Yeah. And that's because that's their religion. Their government is their God. So we have, let's talk about Nancy Pelosi. Now, if you recall, I've said that she made that statement. When she made it, it seemed very vigorously aware. She said, we have no intention of losing the House. Now, some very strange things have happened in voting situations, especially the Fetterman issue and very strange in the Carrie Lake situation in Katie Hobbs in Arizona. Very strange. So first of all, we have this voting. She said, Nancy came out and she said, we're motivated, we're on the ground, we're mobilized, we have all of our people in place. Anybody knock on your door? Did anybody knock on your door? Did you have Democrat campaign people knocking on your door? No, you didn't. When the left talks about motivating them, getting motivated and mobilized and having their people on the ground, they're not talking about going out and campaigning, trying to get your vote. Oh, they want your vote, but here's how they get it. Mail-in ballots. This is the whole reason for them wanting early voting and mail-in ballots. Because they can be harvested. You can't harvest stuff on election day. It's very difficult to do that in one day. The reason they want early voting, the reason they want mail-in ballots and mail-in voting is because they can harvest them. That's what this is all about. You have ballots being dumped by all the mules. This is still going on, folks. It's still going on. Katie Hobbs is the election commissioner of Arizona, by the way. As a secretary of state, she was also the commissioner of the election system in Arizona. Interestingly enough, she did not recuse herself from that position when she's running for the highest office in the state of Arizona. So she's still the commissioner there. No conflict of interest, of course. No, of course, she's going to be completely fair and square on that whole thing. Didn't get out and campaign. Didn't have any debates. Refused to debate Carrie Lake. Carrie Lake was dominating in the polls. And all of a sudden, Katie Hobbs wins by less than a percent. Oh, gee. And here's how it went down that night. The other day, when they finally announced our win, they said, we have still have 39,000 ballots to count. Then they came out the next morning and said, we've counted 12,000 ballots. No, it was 38,000. I'm sorry. It was 38,000 ballots to count. The next day they came out and said, we've counted 12,000 and we have 39,000 left to count. What? What? That math doesn't work out too well. I don't know if they're just confusing their facts or if this literally they just, oh, look, we found more in somebody's trunk of somebody's car. It's Babylon Bee had this thing where they made a joke about, you know, somebody won by two briefcases or two suitcases. I think somebody found two suitcases full of ballots. This happens all the time with the Democrats. Oh, I found two more suitcases full of ballots. And oh, look, they all break towards the other person. And oh, it just happens to come out just so that they just barely win. This happened with Al Franken in Minnesota. First time he won, it was because somebody found ballots in the trunk of somebody's car. And now we got all these mail-in ballots that were dumped on election day that, look, we got more under the table here. Now they can say there's no widespread voter fraud because they pull all these loopholes that are in very gray areas about this whole thing. In fact, was it Sunny, what's her name, on The View, came out and actually admitted on television that she took her vote in for her son. That's not legal. You can't do that. You can't take someone else's vote, ballot in and drop it off. You can't do that. In the state where she is, that's illegal to do that. But she announced it on national television that she took her son's vote in for him. Wasn't legal. Now, most people will say, she's just doing it for her son. Yeah, well, it's still illegal. I don't care. I don't know. Just the law doesn't matter, I guess. Well, sir, you were speeding. Well, I was speeding for my son. Oh, okay. Go on then. So we have this stuff going on. That's when Nancy Pelosi talks about mobilization and on the ground and they've got their team ready to go, that's what they're talking about. They're talking about going to nursing homes, filling out ballots for people, or just going into neighborhoods and filling out ballots for people, explaining to them how they're supposed to vote down line. Now, here's what's weird about what happened in Arizona. And this happened in 2020 as well. The person at the top of the ticket, Carrie Lake, lost. Katie Hobbs wins, and everybody down ticket was Republican. You see, because they didn't just fill out the whole ballot, they just filled out Katie Hobbs and they just threw it in there. That's what you're doing when you're trying to fill out 500,000 votes. And you don't have time to fill all the ballot out. You just put the Katie Hobbs thing in there and throw it in. Because they got to do them quickly. Yeah, there's something. Now, Carrie Lake has actually filed all kinds of lawsuits, I guess, in this whole process. Now, of course, the problem with this lawsuit thing is in most states, in most elections, they will not reverse. Even if they find you to be correct and the other person in contempt or in conflict, in other words, if they literally, the judge says, yep, Katie Hobbs lost, these ballots are all illegal, the outcome of the election will not change. That's the way the election law works. Well, it's too late now. We can't change the election has been certified. We can't change the outcome. All we can do is make it better next time. Now, they won't let you file a lawsuit before the election because it's called a preemptive lawsuit. Well, it hasn't happened yet. The incident hasn't happened, so you can't file the lawsuit. So there's this catch 22 of, yeah, now we can file the lawsuit, but there's no accountability. Just, oh yeah, okay, by the way, yeah, you lost, but you're still going to be in office because we don't have anything to, there's no mechanism to pull you back out of office to reverse the election results that we certified, even though they were wrong. This has happened in fact, in Pennsylvania, they determined that there were, was it 125,000 ballots? Or maybe it was more than that, that were illegal. Yep, court ruled for it. Yep, those were illegal. Would that have changed the outcome of the election? Yep. But we can't go back and change that at all. Sorry. There's no mechanism in place to do that. We've already certified it. It's already been sent through. It's already been approved. This is why, this is that whole reason is what Donald Trump was talking about when he wanted Mike Pence to not certify the election, to hold off on counting the electoral ballots. That's all he wanted him to do. He wanted him to postpone it, send it back to the states for assessment, because he knew a lot of these ballots were illegal because they were done all in the name of COVID. Well, it's an emergency. So the Secretary of State has to step in and allow these mail-in ballots and all these ballot dropping boxes. And now that machine is very well oiled. It's very well tried and practiced now. On top of all of this, we have a leadership in the GOP right now that doesn't care at all about whether or not they win or lose the Senate. Here's how they're, this is what went down right now with the House and the Senate. Mitch McConnell and the cronies that are in there, the GOP, all these people in the Lincoln Project and all those never Trumpers that are there. They decided what's best for them politically. Remember, right at 2016, in 2016, you heard people saying we should just vote for Hillary to keep Trump out of there. We'll just wait till the next election. We're better off with Hillary. So I'm going to vote for Hillary instead of Trump because we just can't have Trump in there. They were willing to vote for Hillary Clinton. Can you imagine where the country would be today? Probably in the same situation we're in right now, but it would have just happened earlier. It would be a mess. These are the people, that's what they think. That's how they think. We're better off just losing this one this time, and then we'll get back to it. When the tide shifts, we'll get back to it next time. We'll wait till the economy crashes and things are really terrible, and then we'll step in and say, hey, we can fix this. Look what this administration has done. We'll step in and you can elect us now. That didn't work so well this time, did it? What we had was a Mitch McConnell who's at the end of his career anyway. He doesn't care. He's got, you know, making his salary. He's made all his money. His wife makes all kinds of money from China. He doesn't care. It doesn't affect him to be the Senate minority leader. So life goes on. However, Mitch McConnell gave money. This is how it worked out. And I would not be surprised that there were backroom deals in this whole thing. Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell were very quiet during this whole midterm session. One of Mitch McConnell's most famous statements during the midterms was, well, we don't have very good quality candidates. Because they were Trump supporters. They were MAGA people. He gave money in races. It was almost like it was as if it was a concerted effort. And I have to believe that it was. These people have dinner together. They drink together. They go out and have their parties in the evenings together. The Democrats and the Republican establishment. They're buddy-buddy behind the scenes, folks. They make under-the-table deals and backroom deals. Now, here's how it went down. The Democrats, through money, donated money, the DNC and other PAC groups from the radical leftists, came in and donated money to MAGA campaign candidates. Assuming that they could not win. Well, they're too rad. They're MAGA. And we can vilify MAGA. So let's get the MAGA person in there, because the other person's more electable. So we'll get this MAGA person in there, and then we'll extremize. We'll extreme this MAGA side. Well, this MAGA crowd, these MAGA people, we're going to donate to their campaign because we want them running, because we think we can keep you from voting for them by vilifying them in the media. This is what's happening. That's how it all went down. Now, in the meantime, the Republicans, I mean, this GOP establishment, Mitch McConnell's in charge of one of the largest PACs, fundraising organizations for the Senate. Millions and hundreds of millions of dollars, close to billions of dollars. And they just decide they're not going to support the MAGA people in the general election, or the midterm election in this case. General midterm. So they donate money to other candidates. Or they just don't, like, I think it was actually in Nevada, or was it, one guy came out and called him out on it. He said Mitch McConnell gave 70-some million dollars to somebody in some other state, and gave him 9 for his campaign. He was left on his own, pretty much. Comparatively, his opponent had like $80 million invested in their campaign. So the imbalance here, and they did this on purpose, that Mitch would not support MAGA candidates. And then, he turns around and blames Donald Trump for the losses. The media is all over it. Well, this is, Donald Trump didn't do so well. It wasn't a red wave. Apparently Donald Trump doesn't have the support we thought he did. This election wasn't about Donald Trump. Donald Trump was not on the ballot. This whole thing was slanted and manipulated in a way that is close to criminal, in my opinion, the way they handled this, the way the Republicans handled this. Now, the way the Democrats handled it was they just came up with all these votes. Again, the harvesting issue. In all the key states, for some reason, it just came out that way. This idea that Fetterman handily won against Dr. Oz is absolutely insane. And again, it was because of a white wave, the mail-in ballots that were dropped off on voting day. All of a sudden, we have all these mail-in ballots. They've got this, they got the game down, folks. The Republicans don't play that way. And like I said, Democrats are, the end justifies the means. They will do anything, and that's what they're doing. They're out there. As soon as voting begins, they start filling out ballots. They start getting them piled up. I'm talking a month before the actual election day. I guarantee you, if we had now there was also this issue of, in very, very predominantly Republican red counties, in Arizona, guess what happened? Oh, the voting machines had glitches. We had some problems. Well, come back in 2 hours and vote again. Well, people who show up before work and it's not working, well, I'll just come back later. Katie's going to win anyway. Carrie's going to win anyway. Katie's not going to. Because they didn't see a lot of Democrats showing up at the polls that day. Of course, they didn't have to, because they didn't have to show up because their votes were already piled up in a bag somewhere. So a lot of people were, it's called voter disenfranchisement. they come in to vote and they leave and they don't come back because they have stuff to do. How many people walked out the door and didn't get to vote? That's what happened in Maricopa County and some other counties as well. Very, very highly red counties. All the vote, that's where the vote, the glitches happened. Voting machines that are, you know, you got all this time, you got all year, you got 2 years really, to figure out, you know, get them all ready to go, test them, do all the stuff that's working, supposed to work. And all of a sudden on election day, they don't work. Oh, there's some glitches. And of course, the media comes out and says, oh, this just gives the people on the conspiracy theorists, that gives them all kinds of fuel now to say that there's problems. Yeah. There is a problem. It's called disenfranchisement. These are the issues that that plague election stuff. And it's why we sit here scratching our head going, what just happened here? So, let's get down to what happened with... Now, here's the problem with the House right now, what's going on in the House. Right now, it looks like it's possible. It looks like it's going to be 50-50 in the Senate again. But it is possible that the Democrats have 51. Not only did they not gain anything in the Senate, Republicans, but they actually are possibly going to lose a seat in the Senate. It's going to come down to this Herschel Walker thing. Now, how do you think the runoff's going to go? When you have a runoff, now you have an isolated campaign, and the Democrats and all the radicals can focus. People can come in from out of state and vote, do all kinds of... This happens all the time. Now you've got this one election where they it's very easy for them to focus their little magnifying glass on that particular event and pour all kinds of money and funding and all kinds of... Celebrities will be involved talking about how wonderful Warnock is and how Herschel Walker is a racist. He's a radical anti-abortionist, pro-lifer. Listening to some discussions yesterday on a bus going from a hotel to the airport. And heard some people talking, and they were talking about abortion. Well, what somebody else wants to do, that's their business. You know, I'm not all for killing babies and stuff, but what somebody wants to do, that's their business. At what point are you going to say, well, that person in their house has a child in their house that's 5 years old. What they do with that child is their business. No, none of my business. They can do whatever they want. It's their house. They can do whatever they want. What if your child happens to be in that house? Is it okay what they do with your child? Because it's in their house. You allowed them to go into their house, knowing that they can do whatever they want in their house. It's their business. Well, but it's affecting my child. Oh, you own your child. Do you own your child now? That's your property? Yeah, see, this gets into a ramification of when does life begin? Because if life begins in the womb, at what point is it protected by the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? At what point does it have rights under our Constitution? That's where the argument is. Now, I didn't get into it with them. Be happy to at some point. They didn't ask me my opinion. But that's where it goes. When does life begin? When does a person have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? See, they wouldn't be able to answer those questions. They wouldn't want to answer those questions. That'd make them very uncomfortable with that. So life only begins when the mother wants to have the life? or life begins when the life is life. If the mother doesn't want it, then it's not a life. If the mother wants it, then it's a life. So life is subjective. You're only a life if we think you're a life. It's a ridiculous argument on their part. Anyway, that's a sideshow for this show. Not unusual. I haven't gone down too many bunny trails today, which is kind of surprising. So then we have the issue of the House, right? What's going on in the House right now? And Kevin McCarthy's, of course, running for House Speaker. Now, here's the problem we have. And Marjorie Taylor Greene actually had the wherewithal to say, we have to vote for Kevin McCarthy. They've only won the House by about 3 seats at this point. I think this other guy is running for, he's announced his nomination now for House Speaker of the House. I would be surprised if there's some others that are probably considering it. If this guy runs for Speaker of the House, votes for himself, and some other people vote for him, if he gets 5, 10 people to vote for him, that means Kevin McCarthy doesn't get the majority vote. Do you think any Democrats are going to be voting on Speaker of the House? Kevin McCarthy for Speaker of the House? No, they're going to vote for Nancy Pelosi. Even though she should be retiring. She was asked about retiring, I guess, the other day, and some reporter asked her, and I guess she got snippy with him. I haven't found the clip of it yet, but I saw a headline about it. I'd like to get the actual, it had to be recorded. She snapped back at him pretty hard. She's like,
I'm very Catholic. My teeth are falling out.
She's getting really ridiculous now. It's at the point where she's, I think this last election kind of burned her out a little bit. Her and Joe, and Schumer need to kind of just walk off into the sunset. Just, you know, have at least go away with some dignity. It's the public display right now has gotten ridiculous. She can't hardly talk anymore, much like Joe. Can you imagine the two of them having a conversation?
Well, I'm here in Cambodia and Colombia and the depression.
Yeah, my goodness. So we have the House situation now where Kevin McCarthy, I'm afraid he's going to have to be Speaker. I do not want him to be Speaker. But anybody else that steps in here is going to throw, unfortunately, a monkey wrench in the whole process. They just don't have the majority of votes in order for other people to run right now. Can you imagine a Republican majority in the House and having Nancy Pelosi as the Speaker? The Speaker controls what comes to the floor for vote, by the way. That's why it's important. They can't just... Now, here's the other thing that happened. Right before the election, 2 weeks before the election, Lindsey Graham, by himself, with no sponsors, throws in the Senate a bill to abolish abortion, but to ban abortion. It's a pretty radical bill. It's like tossing a grenade in to a crowded firehouse. That's not quite right. Can you yell theater in a crowded firehouse? He tosses this bill in, knowing full well that it makes... Why did he do that? Some people are saying it actually sabotaged the whole thing. Because all it did was embolden the leftist wackos who are vehemently opposed to the pro-life movement. Vehemently anti-life, pro-abortion. It just fired them up even more. And he knew that. He had to have known that that's what was happening. He's never done it before. He's never introduced something like that before with regard to abortion. It's like smacking a angry hive of wasps, hornets. It's like smacking their nest. But, you know, and he just kind of tossed it in there and didn't say anything about it. Just kind of sat back. There you go. This guy's, he knew what he was doing. He's played the political game for a long, way too long of a time. And here we are. Yeah. So, between Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, Kevin McCarthy, and then the Democrats working in cahoots with them, we saw the red wave held off. And the media would have it portrayed as, this is all Donald Trump's fault. People aren't supporting Donald Trump. But you're not supporting Donald Trump. Donald Trump comes out and makes what I think was a very tempered, even-keeled speech about running for president, what's going on in the country, in the nation. This wasn't a rally speech. This was a presidential speech. And there are people on Fox News saying, well, why isn't he that way all the time? Now, if he keeps this up, now, of course, there are still some other people who are still coming out trying to push the whole DeSantis thing. And of course, the media, the left-wing media, is trying to pit DeSantis against Trump right now. Well, he came out and made comments about it. He goes, DeSantis, it's water off his back. He's like, well, you know what? It's politics. This is the way we play the game. You know, I don't think DeSantis is going to make any kind of announcement about running for president. Now that Donald has come out and done it, I don't think he basically has cleared the field. The only people you're going to see are people like Liz Cheney, which the Democrats might try to elect her as Speaker of the House, believe it or not. That has been tossed around. Now, I don't know if that's just to keep the carrot in front of Liz Cheney's nose. Adam Kinzinger, again, he's on MSNBC every day as well. Who was that? Here's a classic one. Mitt Romney comes out and says, Donald Trump is like an old pitcher who should be retired. That's pretty rich coming from Mitt Romney, failed presidential candidate, turncoat traitor in the House, in the Senate, I'm sorry. Is it Senator Romney or Congress? I think it's Senator. I think he's running for Senator. He's one of those people who we can't count on. Yeah. These are the people that we have to deal with right now. And they're playing the game. They're playing the political game. We'll see how it goes in the next few months here. Of course, the DOJ now is probably going to ramp up their attacks against Trump because now he's more of a threat because now he's got this movement. Now Trump is going to build a movement. I believe you're going to see the momentum again. It'll come and go. He's going to develop right now. He's got some downhill momentum. He's got some people behind him. He's got some rallying troops around him. People are excited. That excitement will die down at some point to some degree. And then he will again bring it up again. And then the primary election season will begin this next year. And we'll see the rhetoric and the rallies and that kind of thing start to ramp up again. Now, supposedly, he's lost some big donors. I don't think that's going to be a big issue. The donor class among the primary elections, I think, is not going to be that big of a deal. For one, I think the people he got running, Pence, if he runs, not viable at this point. I'm sorry. Pence could have handled things much better, even in the case of if he didn't want to do anything to change the count of electoral votes. He could have handled that entire situation much better. I don't think he handled things like a true leader. Now, of course, Nancy Pelosi called him up and acted like, "Oh, see, he's a good man." No, he's not. No, Nancy, he's not. He's pro life. Nancy, you believe in a woman's right to choose. He's your enemy. You're just pretending like you like him because you cared about him so much. Oh, are you still okay? Are you still okay? Am I the president yet? Oh, no, I guess not. They haven't killed you yet. Okay, well, they haven't hung you yet. Okay, I guess I'm still a speaker. We don't even know if Mike Pence was on the other end of that phone. But I digress. We have a lot to pray for in the coming weeks and months. And I think that we need to be slightly involved, just by a little bit, with regard to staying abreast of what's happening, because I think we need to be alert and aware, not to be distracted by what's going on in politics, but to be aware of what's going on in politics. I want to make clear there's a distinction there. We don't want to be distracted by this. We want to make sure our focus is on our service to those around us, to the circles that we can influence and affect, to being productive in life. Being both productive in our work as well as in the fruit that we bear, the ministry that we have to those that we interact with every day. To be their servants, to be the servant mentality of how can we serve those around us right now? And what we're serving them is what God has infilled us with, His Spirit, His love for others. The caring and compassion that needs to reside in us. It's not our goodness. It's His goodness living through us. His Spirit is alive and well within us, and it lives through us. I should say He lives through us, not it lives through us, but with regard to His Spirit. He's living, active, and sharper than any two-edged sword. So be salt and light in the earth today. That's my charge to you today. Be effective. Be hot or cold. Don't be lukewarm. Anyway, that's all I got to say about that today, folks. I know it's been a long week, been all sitting around the computer waiting for this podcast to come out. Probably just sitting there staring at the screen, waiting for when's the next News According to Me going to come out. Well, here it is. Since it's been so long, there may be a bonus show tonight. Possibly. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. But it's 7:03 now. Time for me to shut this program down. And the music's getting louder. It's getting harder for me to talk. It's getting harder for you to hear me. So I probably should just go ahead and stop then. God bless everybody. Have a great day. We'll see you on the next one. Take care.